Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today, I have an exciting episode on the basics of Ayurvedic medicine. So this is ancient Indian medicine. So hang on, it's going to be a fun episode. Can't wait to get started with it. So why do I want to talk about Ayurvedic medicine? Well, people are always asking me, what food should they be eating? What kind of exercise should they be doing? What works best for their body to de-stress? And you know, there's many answers to those questions that can be investigated with labs, and of course now we have genetic testing, but what about ancient medicine principles and all of those years of wisdom? What do they say about matching your diet and lifestyle to your body type? If you've listened to this podcast for some time, you've heard me talk about Chinese medicine principles. And I've talked all about diet and lifestyle in that department. But I've never gone into Ayurvedic medicine and the ancient medicine of India before. I learned it while studying at Bastyr, but you know, I have to admit, because I was also doing acupuncture, I gravitated more towards the acupuncture side of things, but it didn't mean that I wasn't interested in Ayurvedic medicine or its principles. I feel like my brain was so full, I just couldn't add another thing. So today you are in for a big treat as I am interviewing Nirja Ahuja. She is the director of the Ayurveda Awareness Center in Perth, Australia. And in addition to directing the center, she's still teaching courses and seeing patients, which makes it even cooler because she's up to date on the latest and greatest. And she's here to talk about the body types known as the doshas. And how knowing your body type can help you find the right food, the right job, the right partners in life, how to exercise properly for your body type, and relaxation techniques that work for you. So Nirja, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you today. I'm so excited to get started and have you tell everybody all about the wonders of Ayurvedic medicine.
Hello, Janine, and thank you very much for this warm welcome on your podcast. Thank you for inviting me to be there.
Yes, I appreciate it because I think one of the things that I've overlooked in my podcast is Ayurvedic medicine. I was trained a little bit in it while at Bastyr University, but I just kind of gravitated towards the Chinese medicine side of things and then realized that there's a whole nother side of medicine out there that really does need to be addressed. And I think something that's really important is that people always come in and ask me, hey doc, what food should I be eating? What type of exercise should I be doing? What kind of things work best for my body? And I kind of, you know, go and go, well, you know, Ayurveda really does explain that really well. So here you are to help us with navigating how we talk about body types and how Ayurveda can help you find how to treat yourself and how to work best with your body.
Okay, so with Ayurveda, we talk about five elements, like you would have seen in Chinese medicine, but here also we talk about five elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. And from that, we talk about the functional intelligence in the body and the being, as in terms of the word uses dosha. So there are space and air combined together to what we call as vata dosha, and mainly fire with a bit of water and air and water are pitta dosha, which is mainly fire. And then we talk about kapha dosha, which is water and earth. So what is the functional intelligence of these elements is what will help us understand what are these doshas. For example, the space and air make vata dosha. So what are the qualities of space and air when we think about it? So both of them don't have much weight. So people who have got a lot of vata in them, for example, they will be thin body structures.
Uh-huh.
And what is vata is space and air. So air quality is, it doesn't flow in straight lines. So people who have got vata dosha, for example, they would find that they want, or the term that we do use sometimes is erraticness. Mm-hmm. Their pattern is erratic. So one day they are breakfast, they are very hungry, and next day they don't want to have breakfast. So that's the kind of pattern that they may have. Or one day they love doing something and next day they hate doing it, or they don't want to do it. So, you know, that erraticness is what we would look at in many kind of things. And so that is the vata. Vata is a principle related to movement. So it is related to movements in the body. For example, circulation. For example, food going from mouth to the other end is the movement happening in the body. Breathing is another kind of movement that is happening in the body. Or from medical perspective, for example, thinking is creating movements in the neurons. So, you know, so that is also related to the movement. So that is why anxiety and stress, for example, is related to vata. So that is the coming from, if we understand what is space and what is air and what are their qualities, we can talk a lot about how it will show up in a person or how they will behave, what is going to be innately their tendencies will be like. So that is something about vata. And so in same way, we can talk about pitta and kapha as well.
I see. And, you know, you brought up a couple interesting points there about folks that one minute they love something, the next minute they hate it, one minute they're hungry, the next minute they're not. This is a very common presentation for a lot of folks that can drive them nuts and cause them quite a bit of internal stress.
Yes, and one thing is innate, what we call as body type, how they have come on this planet Earth. But the other thing is today's lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much running around happening. Mm-hmm. So we are creating that as an imbalance as well. In fact, in my practice even from what we have read, probably around 99.9% of us are going around with some kind of vata imbalance. So it is really interesting and good to and important to know at least the vata, irrespective of whatever is body type, because a lot of us are going around with imbalances. You know, I don't know about how it is in America or only from what I hear, but generally modern lifestyle is too much running around, too much movement happening, whether it is internal movement, anxiety and stress, or external movement, running around for job, for home, for relationships, for, you know, doing all kind of things and applying all kind of things. So it is something that I find a lot in all, at least by the time they are coming here to see me as my clients, there is a lot of imbalances even of vata type. So it's good to know about that.
Wow. So if I can clarify, just for anyone who's never heard about Ayurvedic medicine before, you can be born in a vata type, but you can also create this vata type. And if you're born into this type and then you have stress on top of it, you've got a double whammy here.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So that there is double whammy. I mean, there are some good things of each body type as well. So, but these are going to be the challenges for anybody who has got what I would say vata aggravation.
Okay.
That is the imbalance.
Okay.
Or if they have been born with that genetic type or body type, as we call it. And if I can introduce the terms of the language.
Absolutely.
Prakriti is what we are born with, and Vikriti is what we have taken over, or it has, you know, come from external environment.
Okay. All right. So I'm not going to say it as good as you. I apologize. Prakriti is what we are born with. And
yes.
Got it. So I'm writing with the born with, and then tell me again what you are acquiring. It's the one that starts with a V.
Vikriti.
Vikriti. Okay.
And or we can just keep on saying imbalances. It's better to speak in the language that is easy to understand.
Sure.
So imbalance is pretty fine.
All right. So let's go to the next type and then maybe give the whole picture of all three types. Okay. And then maybe we can talk a little bit about, okay, so maybe you identify with one more than the other, or identify with more, you know, maybe you identify with what you're born with, but maybe you can guess what your imbalance might be, and perhaps some ideas on what to do about that.
Okay, so the next one will be, we can talk about the Pitta dosha, which is related to fire. Okay. So now, what is the fire quality? So one is, it changes people, or changes, it is related to change happening. For example, the fire can convert the ice to water, or water to vapor. Mm-hmm. So it is conversion is an important thing. In our body, the main conversion we know is digestion. Mm-hmm. It is about that we can take food, whatever we like, but ultimately it needs to be converted in the form that can be absorbed by the body. So, you know, and that conversion is happening because of fire in the body.
Okay.
We know, like modern medicine will tell us, that we have got hydrochloric acid in the body, mm-hmm. in the, you know, digestive tract. So we are, that is a liquid fire, really. And so it is related with fire, is related with conversion. Other places of fire are all enzymatic activity and all hormonal activity in the body, because mm-hmm. they are also connected with converting or changing things. And how does it look like when I see somebody who has got a lot of fire? Maybe they have red hair. So physical indications are red hair, for example, or reddish tinge to the skin tone. That is indicating fire. And ambition is fire. Fire in the belly, you know, that's the general language we can use, fire in the belly. People with passion and ambition have got a pitta or fire. And fire can, as an imbalance, can show up, for example, on skin, like skin and rashes. It can show up as acidity, it can show up as ulcers, it can also show up as anger, resentment, frustrations. So when we understand the concept of fire, you can see it in all these ways: physical, mental, emotional, in the inner activity. Keen intellect is another way fire can show up, because what is intellect? Is it is converting some raw information into something else.
Sure.
Make it mean something else pretty quickly. So that sharpness of mind is also, from Ayurvedic perspective, we'll call it fire as a pitta thing, as well as sharpness of the tongue. So anger, frustration, cutting language is also fire.
Okay. I have an idea of a person in my head. A very red-haired, red-faced individual is what's popping up in my head.
Yes. And then if you extend it a little bit, if, for example, this is the kind of person, and it is summertime, hot day, and mm-hmm. they're eating hot curry, for example. And then the imbalance that can happen is anger and irritation for something small. You know, that kind of a possibility is there. And that's how we use this to educate. When I'm in a consult or I'm teaching, we are talking about these things, and people can kind of peg it. Either they have experienced it themselves in themselves, or they can peg it to the people around them, how to recognize that. So because these five elements are not only existing in us, but they are all in the universe. So hot summer day is a fiery kind of day.
Uh-huh.
Or a windy day can be a pitta, vata kind of day, space and air. So windy day. And in that time, if you are eating spacey and airy food, say you are eating raw lettuce,
okay,
then you are going to create more anxiety and stress as well to yourself. So using that, you can see that, for example, then a good salad is not necessarily a good diet for everybody.
Absolutely. That's one big one that I try to talk about a lot, that raw foods, if you have a certain type of characteristic, it's going to actually go the other direction and damage your digestive system and cause X, Y, and Z.
And so raw salad and raw food, for example, would be more appropriate for somebody who has got kapha, water and earth.
Mm-hmm.
So water and earth, what are the qualities of water and earth? Okay. Earth is solid. So people who have got kapha type, they are typically... they have got heavier bones because they have got more solid earth in them. So heavier bones, oily skin, oily hair, they take time to move because earth is solid. It grounds them. So they may take time to move. And so, you know, you can tell just by looking at, physically looking at somebody, you can work out a lot about what are their inner tendencies as well as it, as a practitioner, it gives me a lot of things that I can give them as solutions. For example, if somebody has got too much earth and water, they will have earthy quality. Forgiveness is easy. Okay, so making friendships is easy, but they will also tend to have watery and watery kind of things. For example, pussy things or tumors filled with pus kind of will be the tendencies for them if they are out of balance. So a fiery person may show anger and irritation or acidity as their health issue. A vata person with space and air may show anxiety and stress as their health issue. Whereas a kapha person who has got a lot of earth, they may have tumors and cysts kind of issues.
Interesting. And would you say cystic acne too would be in that department?
Depends on if it is pussy acne, it is probably more kapha. But if it is reddish, burning, it is probably pitta. If it is dry, very dry, it is probably because of air. So it is more vata. So again, it lets me as a practitioner go into, you know, just by looking at the person or asking them very few questions, I can get to know what is going on. It really gives me, it's like, you know, how you've seen some the children's games where activity where you have lots of dots and you join the dots and there is suddenly a bird or an animal or whatever. So understanding this body type or understanding the doshas gives me those dots already, which gives me what is potentially going to happen or what are the tendencies here and how, what kind of imbalances are probably happening. And then you have a conversation with them and find out more details and you're joining the dots and here is the full picture there.
It makes a lot of sense. Now I'm wondering, I bet about a couple folks listening on this podcast right now are going, okay, so if they are identifying more with, say, I'm going to go with the kapha because that's more of me, so I'm going to use myself as the example here because I move a little slower. I'm not a fast runner or walker. My husband is always complaining about it, and I'm like, it's just me. I can't keep up. And if I have something wrong, it's going to be something like a boil or I might, you know, have some issues with my skin because it gets oily. So if a kapha person is like me, is having this body type, and then I am eating, say, on the run, and I'm stressed out, and I'm eating fast foods, and I'm eating spicy foods, and I'm eating junk, and then on top of that, I am doing a lot of exercise, say fast, heavy exercise to counteract that. What does this do for someone of my type? What I'm trying to go for here is explaining someone who's really stressed that might be kapha, and then kind of going.
All right. Okay. So Any body type can have any kind of health issues ultimately.
Sure.
But let's look at some of the things one by one.
Yeah.
If you're eating, say somebody has got a lot of water and earth, they may find that they do have tendency to be slow, or even their metabolism can be slow. So they may find that they're not really hungry at typically at breakfast time. Probably the appetite is slow, so it will start showing up maybe 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that, rather than when they get up. But once they get going, they can keep going for a while actually as well. So, but if we want to, if it is too much of imbalance happening in that time, they might find that more of space, air, and fire kind of foods will help remove that aggravation that is happening of water and earth. So for them, light meals and salads and raw food would be good. Or eating a bit of spicy food, some chili or some black pepper or some ginger, which are a bit of heaty kind of food, they will actually find that it helps them in moving. Because if I can use that language, if there is too much of aggravation of water and earth, the tendency can become of, can be of being even a couch potato, because earth is keeping them grounded. And if they don't bring that movement, it may slow them down more than what they would want to. So they do need to have some kind of, say, foods need to be fiery kind of, or spacey and airy kind of food, but not water and earth. For example, look at a pumpkin. It is more solid, which comes from more kapha, water and earth, which is different from, say, a lettuce, right?
Yeah.
So lettuce is more spacey and airy. Broccoli is more spacey and airy. Or cabbage is more spacey and airy, whereas a pumpkin is more solid. Chili is more fire. So by understanding this concept of these five elements and understanding who am I? It is very logical to choose what kind of foods now I want to have, right? If I have got too much of water and earth, I shouldn't eat too much of water and earth. I should take some more fire. I can take some more space and air kind of foods. So salads are good. Raw food is okay. And fiery food, some chili sauce in on my food, or hot chili curry might be good, not bad thing for me. But if I eat too much of pumpkin, too much of creamy, rich kind of foods, they may further aggravate water and earth or kapha for me, which is not going to be good for me.
Interesting.
Makes sense?
It makes perfect sense. I think one of my other questions, because it's so, I would say, popular and trendy in the US and probably over in Australia as well. By the way, folks, we are talking to Nirjit all the way from Perth, Australia. So she's coming from a long way to do this podcast. But what I wanted to know is, you know, here in the US, it's really popular to not eat grains these days. And I'm wondering if the grains kind of, do they go more with the earth, the kapha type of dosha, or is it more kind of in between?
Grains can be different qualities as well.
Okay.
Though I think, I mean, for example, corn is a bit more heating, so it might be okay for many people in winter, but not necessarily in summer.
Interesting. So that's a summer whereas, food.
Yes. Whereas I think now not eating grain is probably required for many people, because generally we have been eating a lot more processed food than, say, past generations.
Sure.
And so there is imbalances, there are imbalances happening at the gut level, and there is cellular level inflammation that can happen. And I think that is one of the reasons why people are finding that not eating grains is working well for them. So that is irrespective of the body type. I think it is more about how we are living in today's life, you know, lifetime. That is what is going on. So That's a kind of different thing. But different grains for different body types are also recommended. Like I said, corn can be a bit heating. And traditionally, when it was available only in the season, we would have eaten more cornbread in winter than in summer.
Makes sense. What about legumes and lentils and beans and things in that department? What would you say in terms of the Ayurvedic thought process on those?
Okay. Now, coming from Indian background where we have been using legumes a lot, there are three kind of things that we typically get. For example, do you use mung beans there a lot?
Not a lot, but I'm familiar with them.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So there are beans that are like, one is the whole seed. So whole mung bean or whole beans. And then we also get them where they are cut in half. So skin on, but half.
Mm.
And then we have got the third one is which looks yellow instead of green, but it is skin removed.
Mm.
And there are many of beans that you can get like that. So typically the whole mung bean will be heavier to digest and take longer to cook. So maybe okay for any body type, but say the yellow one, which is skin removed, so that is lighter and easier to digest. And so again, good for any body type, but it will digest much quicker. So we would even give to somebody who's recuperating from any disease or, you know, any illness or want to have something light. So we do use them differently as well. So typically whole seed will take longer to digest, and skin removed, cut in half kind of thing will be easier to digest. That will be a rule of thumb.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that a little bit. I think a lot of folks now are going, okay, I need to find some mung beans with the skins removed. I don't know if we have that here. But in my mind, I'm going, I need to find that. I think it'd be easier to digest since we've been talking about in the U.S. so much on digestion and things. Yeah.
And again, once you know about these foods, you can kind of adjust to, for example, broccoli, it may not be the best food for, say, a vata body type or vata imbalance, but a kapha may have it more crunchy, right? Whereas vata may have more well-cooked and may add some herbs and spices which make it easier to digest. They may add some black pepper to it. They may add some cinnamon or cardamom or a bit of ginger to it to make it more digestible, make it well cooked. Whereas kapha may have more crunchy, and they may still use some black pepper or ginger to it so that it brings that heat in along with the vegetables. So if once you know, it is easy to fine tune as long as we understand who am I, what is my body type, and what elements do these spices and herbs have. And actually, once you get the hang of it, it is very intuitive and very easy to understand and easy to work out. Oh, what is the season like? Is it winter time? Should I have more green chili or black pepper in my food now? Or, you know, which makes more sense to have when external environment is cold, I can introduce more heat in my food.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we do some of those things quite innately, because typically in summertime, people want to have cooling foods. Cucumbers, green salads are much more popular in summer, whereas in winter, we innately go towards soups, which are water and earth probably as well. So some of these things we are doing innately, but we can also learn about them as a science. And then use that. In fact, we can use all of that to understand, for example, what kind of foods we will have, what kind of exercise can I do, what kind of career would work for me. So there are plenty of things we can just look at them and understand. How will I go about in terms of relationships. If I'm fiery, or if my, you know, people around me, my boss is fiery, my partner is fiery, and if they, it's summertime and if they're eating hot curries, expect some anger flares there.
I love it. It's like, it's like this is what you should do for social activities. This is your how to live guide for your body and social activity.
Definitely. I do use and I teach people. In fact, if you are doing the online course that I have developed, you can learn a lot about that. For example, if fiery people, you know, they're, we talked about the key thing for Pitta is digestion. Mm-hmm. So they are, they will find it hard to, you know, when they're hungry, they're hungry. They are thinking of food, for example. So if you are setting up a meeting with somebody and somebody who's very fiery kind, well, try not to do it just before lunchtime, because they'll be thinking of food. And if food is not coming and they are busy doing something else, they are thinking about that, that may bring that irritation into them. Whereas if you have got a meeting with kapha body type, they are already slow. They are, and their metabolism is slow. So before meal, they are okay, but they will further slow down after meal. So you don't want to set up a meeting after the meal with them, because they might be kind of wanting to slow down.
Take a nap. They'll be sleeping in your meeting. Okay, I'm writing this down as like principles for meeting with certain people. I've got a couple of people in mind right now that I'm like, no meeting before lunch. I'm writing it down right now. Now, in terms of jobs, because I was watching a lot of your videos and there was some discussion about the jobs that people choose and how a lot of us are stressed because we didn't choose the right job for our body type. Tell me a little more about that.
Okay. All right. So once we understand these space, air, fire, water, and earth, and how do they look and what are their qualities? Now, air doesn't, let's talk about vata first.
Okay.
So air doesn't flow in straight line. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, that the appetite can be different, but same way, they need a variety. Their tendencies, they want variety because they'll get bored pretty quickly. Okay. Of doing just same thing again and again and again. And it's interesting. Like, for example, I do get patients who will have 2 days same breakfast and third day they want to change because it's just too boring. And I met some people with kapha body types who have been having same breakfast for the last 40 years because it works. Why change it?
Yeah.
Right? So same way for work, they can get bored. They want a variety. If they are vata body types. Okay, so if the work itself, the work description is such that they can do few different kind of things. So that if they are starting to get bored with one thing, they can go to another. They're typically very creative people. So dance, music, those kind of things, for example, will come pretty easy compared mm-hmm. to others with them for it, because what is ultimately art and craft and music? It okay. is creating something out of nothing, right? They and space and air are not tangible, so creating something out of space.
That's cool. Know? I didn't even think about that.
So they want, they could be good in creative kind of work, and or any work that gives them some variety.
Okay.
So they don't get bored. They can jump to another thing and they're still doing some work.
Okay.
But space and air also brings dryness and coldness in the body. You see, when there is a windy day, it kind of can get cool, right? So yeah. Space and air inside with the wind flowing, there is tendency to have dryness and coldness. So dry skin or cold hands and feet are typically their patterns. So if they're working too long in air-conditioned work, it can bring more dryness and coldness. So the solution for that could be that they are they need fresh air. Or they need to do something to dehydrate or to hydrate themselves, because they will have this tendency for dryness or stiffness of the body or fluctuations of the mind and lack of stillness, because air likes movement. It's not still. So we need to do something. We need to provide some kind of solutions to ourselves, or if we are, or if it is an employer listening and they know that they can peg it that their employees are like that, so provide something for them so that they can remain entertained by the work. It doesn't get too boring. And maybe send them or have some kind of work where they can go out in fresh air, not staying in air conditioned all the time. That was about Vata. And their food, they need to have more warm and moist foods, because dryness and coldness are typically going to be their imbalances. Or in fact, sometimes actually I tell my patients, if they have too much Vata aggravation going on, too much stress and anxiety going on, they not only need to have warm foods and warm and moist foods, but wherever they are comfortable, even warm hugs bring warmth.
Hey, so works. Yes,
why not? Mm-hmm. So once you understand what does a dosha mean and what are its qualities coming from the elements it is made up of, it's really easy to find the solutions. So if we look at the work for Pitta person, now Pitta is related to fire, and fire can be not just fire on the hair color or acidity, but fire also brings fire in the belly. Yes. So they are typically passionate, they are typically leaders, even though they may not be leader, you know, it can be, they can be leader at the home, at work, or they can be leader of the company. Most of the CEOs of the companies or presidents and prime ministers need to have a lot of fire in the belly, right? Or elite sports people. They have got fire in the belly because they are doing way beyond what ordinarily people would want to do because of the fire or the passion that they have, right? So they would, again, find that they would be good, or where they are leaders. They want to be leaders. They like being leaders. They have tendency to be leaders. If there's a fire in the building, suddenly some people will start telling others how to get out and what to do and make this line here. You know, they'll take leadership roles, whether they are formal leaders or not. Ah. So that's the kind of thing that they will be doing. But the key words for them are internal heat and aggression. If out of balance, or anger, resentment, and frustration. And so solution for them would be cooling and relaxing. So innately, they would want to do things that are really bringing that passion. But before it starts burning themselves in quotes, they need to take certain things, simple things I recommend that they can easily take on is, for example, go and wash your face a few times in the day as they see that fire rising, which they want to need to balance. In their exercise, for example, swimming would be a good one because it is also cooling. And they need to make sure, for example, the exercise that they are doing, if they want to stay in balance, then they take on the exercise which are not too aggressive kind of thing. They need to be a bit more gentle, because aggression can be their natural tendency otherwise. And if we are not managing it well, it can become over-aggressive. See, fire, when you look at the fire, if it is over, it can burn. Whereas if it is right amount, it gives very natural warm glow, which attracts people. Hmm. So we want to remain natural glow, which is warmth providing to people. We don't want to burn either ourselves or to other people through our anger and resentment.
That makes sense. Yeah? That makes perfect sense.
So keeping our cells in balance requires, whatever way, they will end up being leaders in their community, typically. So that, because that's their innate tendency. So work-wise, they are more goal-oriented, they are result-oriented, you know, so they need to do those things. But they need to, if they remember, they need to bring that cooling effect from somewhere, whether it is cooling food, swimming as an exercise, or gentle exercise, you know, just those kind of things which will keep them in balance.
Sounds good. Okay.
And the Kapha people, they have earthy qualities. You know, they are forgiving in nature. They will collect friends, like they will collect weight. Their tendency would be to collect weight. Mm-hmm. Or stagnation could be another kind of tendency if they are not watchful about it. Sedentary kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because that's their innate tendency of earth, it grounds them. But they can remain grounded even when other people, say Vata people, will be, say if there is an emergency, Vata people will go off balance and fly in the air with stress and anxiety. Pitta people will take on being leaders. Kaphas will say, well, there's a fire in the buildings. Why do I have to run? I'm sure everybody can just walk out and it'll be okay. You know, they'll stay grounded. So if there is an emergency, they can still stay grounded. That's their strength, right? So, but if not watchful, then the tendency would be stagnation. Then the tendency would be not moving much. That then the tendency will be weight management, right? Or increase weight. Obesity can be their health issue. So. But they are givers because they have got earth. They are givers. So, for example, they could be good in a field like medicine where they are giving. You know, they're looking after, they're nourishing because that's the quality of earth. They can nourish others. So they can have a lot of friends whom they can look after. They can be in the work area that where they can look after people, look after plants. So horticulture, agriculture, medicine, you know, they are the kind of fields where they're giving.
Makes sense.
And they can remain grounded when there are a lot of emergencies happening and people may be getting stressed or getting anxious or getting fiery about it and getting angry about the situations. They can still hold on.
So, and, go ahead.
Make sense?
It makes sense. I think my big question and something that I see a lot in my practice is folks who are givers who overgive and give so much of themselves that the Kapha becomes an excess to the point where their health is failing because they're overgiving. Would that be an accurate Ayurvedic translation into this?
That we can have? Be.
Okay.
Can be. Definitely they can be. But again, if they are present to this is what their tendencies are.
Uh-huh.
So they can manage it through many other ways to keep themselves in balance. So their key issues, as I said, are stagnation and weight gain and mm-hmm. obesity. And so they need to, for example, have foods that are a bit fiery or mm-hmm. spacey and airy. Even their health routine, or they need to kind of... solutions would be things that are stimulating, things that are warming, energizing, and bring or some high intensity. So they may do some high intensity kind of workouts. Or I would say, if I have a Kapha kind of person, I'd say, don't go for a slow, gentle walk. You need to jog.
Hmm.
Not walk, jog. You know, because they have tendency for slowness with the earth. So to compensate so that they don't go into too much of water and earth, they need to have energizing, activating, stimulating, fiery kind of things happening. So it could be food, it could be exercise, and so that they can remain in balance. And like anybody because if their tendency is to overgive, and that can bring imbalance to them, they need to make sure that they have a structure of receiving as well. Or you know, something that they are doing where they are managing to fill themselves up as well, again, so to speak, because they can empty themselves, though it will take them a long time to empty. But once they reach, that means they have gone quite deep where they need it to replenish. So they need to find that time for them.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because I see a lot of folks that are in what I would describe as the kapha category for their body type. And unfortunately, I will see people that have got to the point of where they have adrenal imbalances that are so, you know.
See, kapha, water and earth, gives them a lot of stamina. Mm-hmm. So they, because they are big bodies, so their, for example, AP diameter is big, their lung capacity is more, they can do more things. They can keep doing for a long time. Their capacity and stamina is there. And if they have reached up to the end of their capacity, that means they have gone and given a lot. Their vessel is bigger. So to speak, and so they need to do things to nourish, because, for example, if they had gone into depression, they will go into deep depression. Whereas somebody who has vata, the capacity is low. Space and air doesn't have so much capacity. So they will have more ups and downs. They can quickly go up and down. They will have that erraticness, whereas kapha will take a long time to reach. But once they have reached there, if they have gone, they have any disease, they will take longer time to recover. If depression, it is deeper. If it is any other illness, it will take them a bit longer to reverse.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense too, now that I start to think about some of my patients in that category who have severe depression, who have really given so much of themselves and not taking care of themselves, that it does take longer for them to get better. So many things that I didn't know about Ayurvedic medicine I'm learning today.
Okay, maybe you should do the course that we have online as well.
I am thinking so. Tell us more about that course, because now you've given us a really good teaser in terms of the three doshas, and I think at this point folks have a pretty good idea of the basics, and if they're wanting to learn more, I would love for you to explain how your course works, how it's set up, and how they can access you.
Okay. I do a lot of face-to-face teaching, but of course, which will not be possible for everybody. But I have got some online courses, and one of the courses that might be most relevant for now is Understanding Your Mind-Body. And if you like, I can send you the link, or how would you like me to tell you about that link? But that course can be done online, and it is the course where I explain again some of these things in much more detail, and there is a quiz that people can do, which can make them understand what is your own body type, so that will give them idea of what are their tendencies, and then what are the applications for it. That if I've got a certain body type, what kind of foods should I eat or avoid? What kind of lifestyle would work for me or not work for me? What kind of workplaces are good for me? What kind of exercise are good for me? How it will show up in my relationships? For example, kaphas may find more giving relationship, whereas pittas, if things are not working their way, they may have fire, too much fire happening, then aggression can show up in their relationships as well, and how to handle those things. So I've talked a lot about that so people can understand and use it in their life. So that is, I think, with this podcast, this maybe a relevant course as well. And I'll be very happy to your listeners to give a discount offer for if they want to be aware of, and can send you a coupon so that they can enter that coupon and get 20% off the course.
Yes, yes. And I will be putting, everybody who's listening to this, I will be putting in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. I will have Nirja's welcome offer. It's going to be labeled as the welcome offer. It will be 20% off her Ayurveda awareness course. And I do have the link to it, so it will be up there. And that'll get posted as soon as I post this podcast. And folks can head on over using that link to your website. And the course, I think for folks, the most important thing that I would be thinking about with the course is that it can give you more detail. Obviously, today's kind of just talking about the basics and touching on the three doshas, but I think it's really important for folks to understand their doshas better, to get a little bit more detailed information, because I think some folks could kind of pick out, you know, bits and pieces of themselves, but hearing it from you in a more detailed setting, such as in a course, I think is a much better way to go if you are at all interested and trying to determine what's best for you in life, how you should be eating, how you should be exercising according to Ayurvedic medicine. Yep. Perfect. So what I would like to do here as we kind of close up this podcast is I would love for you, Nirja, to tell folks, if they listen to this podcast and they're thinking, okay, maybe I want to do the course, maybe I'm not sure, but they want to do something right now just to see if Ayurvedic medicine might work for them, how good they might feel based off of what they learned today about the three doshas. What would you tell folks? What would you say?
All right. So I, going by my practical experience, that most of us have got some kind of vata aggravation all the time, or almost all of us. So vata aggravation brings stress and anxiety. I would say one of the things that almost everybody will benefit from is if they are experiencing stress and anxiety, that they should have food that is warm and moist and slightly oily, because that will help reduce that dryness and coldness that comes, or stress and anxiety that comes because of vata imbalance. Okay. That will be one simple thing that I would say for everybody, almost everybody, could be relevant. But if you are, say, vata person or vata body type, if you recognize yourself or some vata patterns, slow down. Make sure that your exercise is something that is not too intense. It's slow down. Or even, for example, I find like if I'm going, I can recognize when I'm going out of balance with too much anxiety and stress or vata imbalance, slow down even in your conversation, in your talk, and you will find that your body will notice it and slow down. So slow down, have warm and moist foods, and stay hydrated for vata person. If you are a pitta person or pitta aggravation is happening, then keywords are cooling and relaxing and gentle. So have cooling kind of foods. For example, cucumber is a cooling food, one example. If another thing you can do to cool down your body, or if you have too much fire happening, wash your face a few times in the day. Get up and wash your face a few times with cool water. That will help cool down. You can do, as an exercise, swimming could be a good exercise for you. So those are the things that one can do if there is too much fire in the body. And if for kapha person or who has got too much water and earth and can recognize something like that, now they would help, you know, the key words for them to look for is stimulating, warming, and activating. So, for example, they would benefit from a jog, not a gentle walk. They would benefit from some heating, spicy kind of food. Black pepper is a good example. Ginger is another good example. Or salads and raw foods would be good for them, so they can use that. What else can they do? Pace would be good. And they typically, earth is gives good structure, so they would be typically, the tendency will be to find structures, but sometimes the structures can be quite rigid for them because they like structures. So they may want to do some new things to break those structures time to time. Like I was giving you the example of somebody who was having same breakfast for 40 years. It works. Why change?
So
just bringing some, you know, breaking off structures deliberately. In simple thing as taking up a new hobby or just having different breakfast for or different lunch time to time. Or bringing some kind of variety. You know, for Vata person, I would say reduce the variety, do same thing, because it will give them that anchoring, because space and air are wanting to make them fly. Whereas for Kapha, they are too much anchor, too much earth. I'd say bring some space and air, fly a little bit.
I like it. Yeah. Go out on a limb a little bit, live a little. I think that's great. So okay. One more question. What would be, for us folks who are stressed and living a little bit more of the Vata imbalance, what would be a warm, moist, oily food? So what would be like the perfect food to eat according to Ayurvedic principles?
Okay. Soups are typically good.
Okay.
Because they're warm and moist and can be slightly oily.
Uh-huh.
Porridge is another good example.
Okay.
Warm porridge of any kind will be, and you warm and moist and slightly oily. You can add a bit of cinnamon, which is a slightly heating kind of spice. You can add ginger. If you know, there's something simple. Or if you know, like from Indian thing, I'll say dal and rice would be a good example.
Absolutely. We know all about that.
So those are some simple things. And irrespective of the weather, okay. Even if it is winter time or summertime, and if you are experiencing stress and anxiety, I would say still stick to soups and porridges kind of food, and not salads. Your body will thank you for it. Your body will notice the difference. So you don't have to rely on just because I said so, but experience it. Try it and see it, and you will find that it really is soothing and nourishing for the body. And for the mind, it gives more stillness to the mind as well, rather than mind going erratic, which is the pattern of Vata.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'll just describe for myself so that it can help sum it up for the folks who are listening to the podcast. Sure. When I'm stressed and I eat a salad, I can't focus to save my life. And in fact, when I'm stressed, I crave the soups and porridges and definitely any type of Indian food that I can get my hands on. And so there is some background to this, which I knew a little bit, but now you've helped me confirm it, Nirja, that I definitely, my intuition is going towards what I should be eating. And I think a lot of people have that intuition, but they divert otherwise, because in the US and probably a lot of other countries as well, there's this concept that you must eat salads all the time to be healthy. And it's a whole nother story, but yes.
Yes, I've seen that, and sometimes I have to teach my patients that yes, salad is good food for somebody else, but right now, with whatever is going on, salad is not the best food. And if you do want to have salad, maybe add some baked vegetables to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say if you do want to have salads, but I think it's not right, then bake some pumpkin or sweet potato, add that to your salad, make it warm kind of salad with some oil dressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to think about it. But once you understand, it's quite intuitive what we need to do.
Makes sense. Now, big question. Does your course come with some recipes?
I think they might be couple of recipes there. Okay. If you ask me.
Not to put you on the spot. Now I'm thinking about food. So now I think we've got my other imbalances coming out. I've just covered every single dosha for myself at this point. But okay. No, all joking aside, I think that for folks that are listening to this podcast, I think you're just giving us a great balance of every little tidbit of the doshas. And if you aren't interested in taking a course by now, I don't know what else to tell you, because I'm going to do it. So you want to go to my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. Check out welcome offer is what you're going to want to click on. And that's going to take you to the Ayurveda awareness course that Nirja has over on her website. So Nirja, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
And I look forward to us chatting further, because there's so many topics that we could have discussed here. And I just wanted to start with this one as our like intro to Ayurveda. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you further.
Thank you. Look forward to.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.